7:10, good morning. This is Lubbock's First News. Welcome to the long weekend. Tom, Laura, and Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house. What you got planned this weekend?
You know, very little. We're going to get in the motorhome, probably head down to a spot near Abilene and just kind of kick back and not do anything.
We're going to go out and get in the motorhome and sit in the driveway.
we might do that, too, if we can't afford fuel.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pretend I'm gone if nothing else.
All right, you guys wrapped things up about 8:30 last night. Now, you started at 1, not 3 yesterday.
Correct.
So, still made for kind of a long day.
You know, it's way too long. We have a tendency to take meetings that should last about an hour and a half, and we stretch them into 3.5 to 4 hours.
Well, better you than me.
It gets to the point of being almost ridiculous, but that's the nature of the beast. And I think as long as you have cameras in chambers, and you're going to have politicians pander to the camera. It's a part of it, and I don't think we'll ever cure that, so just have to get used to it and accept it.
I keep waiting for someone to walk up behind you and start waving at their mom.
photobomb the council? Yeah.
All right, we were talking about the rain. Man, what a blessing.
You know, it's just unbelievable. I started watching it last night, while we were in council. I had radar pulled up because it was really the first council meeting since I've been mayor that we had a chance of severe weather, and I wanted to make sure that was kind of staying on top of it. And the good news last night is that storm stayed over the northern portion of Amarillo all night long. So hopefully it really helped some with Lake Meredith. Now, the only bad news was that we didn't get much of this moisture south and southeast of Lubbock, so Lake Allen Henry, I don't think, got hardly any at all. But the forecasts are good for the rest of the weekend, so I'm sure we've got a lot of folks smiling today that haven't been smiling for a while.
That's right. Our farmers are smiling,
exactly,
for sure.
Exactly. You know, it's very timely. We're right in planting season, and get some good planting moisture will be just tremendous.
You know, the thing is we want to make sure that, I mean, people get really happy when we get rain like this. Mm-hmm. Was it still raining when you came in?
Yes, it was.
Okay, that's awesome. Hopefully, it'll just give us a day-long soaker. That would be phenomenal. But when I came in, I was telling Laura earlier, I saw two sprinkler systems that were on, and which I think because of water restrictions, when it rains, it's illegal to have your sprinkler on, is it not?
Well, I don't think those new restrictions go into effect till June 1st. We're in stage one right now, and I don't believe that kicks in until stage two. I'm sure a lot of folks have the automatic sprinklers. They don't have the automatic rain sensors on them. And it's just a good reminder to tell folks, you know, this weekend, turn your sprinklers to pause or off.
Yeah, because people get happy, and a lot of people get happy with wasting water. I don't understand that, but you know, people spend money and use a lot more water when it rains.
Yeah. You know, it's the last thing you want to do when we're getting this kind of good general rain and we get some hard rain in between, let that natural rain go in and flush out your grass, your yards. It's a good natural process. The water we water with has a lot of salt content in it. And these rains will flush all of that out. And if you're sitting there mixing your water with the rainwater, you're really kind of defeating the purpose.
And if it rains all weekend, we're still in a drought.
Yes, we are.
So don't think the drought's over just because we're getting some good soaking rains. We're still way behind on our rainfall.
All right, grab a jug and bottle your own. Maybe you can save it for a day when we don't have some. 7:14, we'll be back. 61 just seems to be the number. And we have rain around the South Plains area. Keep praying for a little bit more. You drop down and give me one, send one up. And you know, I know a lot of the farmers. I know people that are farmers in my church and in my little circle. I know that guy Brent Pendergrass, him and his wife, they farm. And I know he's just probably sitting out there in the buff in a lawn chair going, come on, man, a little bit more.
Why do you think you have to be naked to enjoy the rain?
I don't think you have to be. I think just some people, it's just...
There's an issue.
It's here. A primal thing.
I think so.
There is an issue.
It's a primal
here.
Thing. You know, if you're a farmer, have a farmer call in.
Uh-huh.
There's got to be a naked farmer sitting out in the middle of the field going, please, God, just a little more.
Yeah.
you know?
I'm not even going to respond.
Yeah. No. How do you respond to that?
You just don't.
All right. Let's talk about the speculation about the EUB and what's going on with Gary Zing. Okay, give us the play-by-play, the recap on the latest vote, and or I guess the last two votes on how this has come to pass.
For some reason, we thought that last night's meeting we were going to discuss dismissing or removing some of the EUBs.
That was really just absolutely
conjecture.
Result of the worst reporting I've ever seen. I put an item on the agenda for us to be briefed by the attorney what constitutes cause, because after the vote about 2 weeks ago, when one of the EUB members abstained on whether or not to terminate their CEO, they have a rule on that board that you have to vote unless you have a legal reason for recusal. And it was explained to the board member, and he voted again to abstain, which in essence is a vote to approve. So it just brought up a lot of questions. What can we do as a council when we've got members over there that aren't abiding by their own board rules? And then that got twisted into bringing in a lot of the old subjects up about whether or not Suzanne Blake has a conflict of interest, whether or not Jerry Bell has a conflict. AJ one more time misreported it this morning, saying that I still think Jerry Bell has a tremendous conflict. I think there's potential, and the attorneys are looking at it. But we just got a good briefing from the attorneys. It was very positive, and there was no action to take after the briefing.
Okay, relative the subject or the origin of the big stink. Laura and I, we kind of have a little bit of disagreement on this. I kind of feel like that Gary Zing could be dismissed for a cause, because I think in my mind and in the private sector, a CEO is responsible for all things tangible and some things that are intangible relative a quantifiable measure, but are still responsible for things perceptible like image, being able to work with people, morale, things like that. Now,
you're thinking the private world. This is a severance agreement, and the bar for cause is very high. And if you fire for cause, the severance agreement would not kick in, and it would save the taxpayers potentially $600,000 to $700,000.
That's after legal fees and all that.
Well, but the legal fees would be tremendously more, and probably litigation if you attempt to fire for cause. Because cause, like I say, is not the intangibles like you spoke of, but the lawyers have told us when we was going through this before, it's going to have to be extremely serious. Now, while I believe there may be some facts out there that would allow the board to terminate Mr. Zing for cause, it's a tough one because you have to weigh, all right, we know what it's going to cost us to fire him without cause, but we don't know what it's going to cost us. What will it cost the taxpayers if we fire him for cause and he hires attorneys and we battle this for a couple of years, mm-hmm. We end up in court, we've got all these lawsuits. So, you know, the mistake was not terminating Mr. Zing, but the mistake was giving him the crazy severance package a couple of years ago. There's where the mistake was made. Now, this board, who didn't negotiate that severance package, is having to deal with it.
Now, what actually allowed that? Am I correctly understanding that the charter empowered the EUB to do this?
Yes. Yes, the charter allows them to hire, fire, manage two people, their attorney and their CEO.
Next question for the general consuming public. How does that get drafted into the charter? What's the process, and how do you change it?
Well, you know, in 2003, LPNL bet wrong on natural gas prices. There was a little bit of mismanagement. But really what happened is they just bet wrong on natural gas prices. The city council at the time was taking money out of LPNL and other funds to the general fund. Still goes on. And there was a public outcry by a group, very small group of very powerful men in this town. And they did a very well-managed campaign to convince the public that LPNL had to be separated. And, you know, I think really what it was, there was a group of people that wanted LPNL to buy Xcel. They wanted LPNL to get into its own generation business. It wasn't long after we did that that you had the buyout. Once you had the buyout, you had a...
When you're talking about this group, is that WTMP?
No. WTMPA is simply four cities joined together. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about individuals in this community that I think saw a potential to profit in the future if they could get LPNL separated, get Xcel bought out. If you look at the first attempt to solve the power problem for 2019, that was the biggest fiasco we've ever seen, with local investors having their money in it, investors that who previously had been on LETA and had promoted some of this. I mean, it's I'm not saying it was dirty, but it just never passed the smell test. And quite frankly, when I was on the board and started all this was going on with Republic Power Partners, is the reason I ran for mayor.
Really?
No doubt. I didn't like what I saw. It just had the appearance of corruption through and through. And it just motivated me to run as hard as I could.
This is one of the things with Gary, with the EUB, and a lot of people in public office that are in public office. They're in there and they're so close to a line, and we sit there and convince ourselves that, oh, well, he or she is a nice enough guy or gal. They would never do that, thinking that people are bigger than human nature. You know, pretty soon human nature is going to jump up and bite you on the butt, isn't it? Yeah, I see the marks. 729, good morning. News Talk 790 KFYO 739, Lubbock's first news on Friday in the middle of a rain day celebration. We're with Glenn Robertson, mayor of the city of Lubbock, Texas, after the meeting this last night. Channel 2 was a little boring last night.
That's a good thing. I like it when our meetings are not exciting.
Laura and I were just, we were talking about this yesterday. We were expecting, you know, some hair pulling.
Meow. Well, that was due to the, how you put it, poor reporting of what was probably going to happen last night.
You know, like yesterday, I mean, starting from 1 o'clock to when we finished at almost 9 was really a productive and good meeting. It's the way that you know, we really should be all the time. There was no bickering. The executive session was very productive. There were a couple of issues on there that could have been controversial, but everybody behaved extremely well. And, you know, it was just a good meeting.
All right. The Omni building is not just an eyesore, but has been a pain in the butt. You know, for people that kind of traverse through that area, I mean, I'm on Texas South of 19th Street. And when I try and go to the post office, man, it's just like you got a one-way street this way and one-way street that way. You got to go way, way, way out of the way. So they finally opened
up. That's a lot of ways.
It is. But finally, you got one lane open on the east side, and you got one lane open on the south side.
Correct.
And we're trying to limit the suffering of businesses and the proliferation of attorneys that have infested the area. So tell us what's going on there. Latrell Joy made that motion. It passed. You know, I guess the city engineers have looked at stuff thinking that it's okay.
You know, I think that really what happened is the political process worked. We had a group of citizens come to City Hall, act professionally. They aired their concerns. They sent emails. They made phone calls. They launched a campaign on Facebook. They came back to City Hall. And once again, I think that the main thing that got everybody's attention is this group handled this issue very professionally. They didn't dress up in outlandish costumes. They didn't attack us personally. They didn't make up allegations. They just brought good facts, had professional speakers.
And their own T-shirts.
Well, and like I said, they made a point and council listened, and that's the way it should work. And, you know, they had come back the second time, and they're smart enough to know that the issue's not over with. We've reached a compromise right now to get the street open. But we still got the big problem of the Omni and the fact that the whole street's not open.
Right. This is an ongoing process. Now, I guess we're in negotiation currently with the attorneys continually. Now, doesn't the city also have liens against that property?
We do. We've got about, I think it's around $240,000, $250,000 in liens against that building. We are in litigation against the owner. We're scheduled to be in district court in November.
Okay, now, here's how it shakes out in court. If we actually, as a city, get a judgment against the owner, that doesn't necessarily mean it's still that anything's going to happen, because just because you get the judgment, you can get a judgment against somebody if they're out of money, A. B, if they choose, even if they have the money, not to pay it. Realistically speaking, you can't really assess anything from them other than you're freezing that asset, yes?
Well, no, what we're doing is we're not trying to get a judgment against the owner. We're trying to get a ruling that they have to bring that building up to our health and safety codes. And if they don't, then it would give us authorization to go in there and demolish that building.
At his or our expense?
But it'd be our expense.
Wow. That's just amazing.
Now, isn't the estimation to demo that building like about, weren't we saying $10 million?
We're thinking 4 to 5, but that's just really, that's more of a guess than an estimation, because there has not been an asbestos study done on that building.
Oh, God.
You know, I do know the asbestos has been abated up through most of the floors, but I know the top three floors have not been abated.
744 at News Talk 790 KFYO. Good morning. Right now, 7:48. Tom Collins, Laura Mack, Precinct 4 runoff candidate for the for JP Court. Mm-hmm. Gary Vaughn going to be in after top of the hour. He's actually hanging out with us this morning. We'll be visiting with him, and if you got a question or comment, you can ring us up 770-5790. Also, if you want to talk to the mayor, I guess you can call too. I'm not dissing you, guy, or anything like that.
Sure, you are, but that's okay. I'm accustomed to it.
All right, Floyd Price, since he's been on the council, has been, you know, being kind of a squeaky wheel. You know, he wants to have E66 paved. There's business out there, and there are some more businesses going in on the east side. You know, namely, there are some people that have businesses out there that, you know, are and have complained about damage being done to vehicles because of the shape of the roads. Where are we at on this thing? Is this going to happen, or is it going to be just another thing that passes?
Well, you know, E66 is a road that goes out to the new animal shelter, and a business went in out there that hauls a lot of liquid products in tankers. So they're running 80,000-pound trucks up and down a dirt road. It's not even a good caliche road. It's a dirt road. And the problem is, especially now that we've got some weather, because of that heavy truck traffic, that road's becoming almost impassable to passenger vehicles. And it goes to the animal shelter. So Mr. Price wants to have that road paved. I think everybody agrees. We'd love to pave that road today.
Sure.
Problem is, the estimate's about $4.5 million, and we don't have it in this year's budget. So we're trying to figure out alternatives. Can we do some strip paving? Do we want to try some rolled concrete? We're just looking at all alternatives and see if we can't come up with some way that we can afford to pave that street, because You know, we need folks to be able to get up and down it to be able to get to the animal shelter.
I got a great idea. We could have a televised sing-a-thon and let Floyd, you know, put on a perpetual concert.
I will tell you, Mr. Price can sing, and I don't think he'd turn that opportunity down.
Does that road only go to the animal shelter? Are there other businesses out there?
There's one business out there that just went in. There's some potential development out there. Of course, we think the location hurts and the lack of a road hurts. It's one of those things. Most of our unpaved roads are in East Lubbock, and it's because it was developed before we had, developers having to put the paving in. So when you have to go back in 20, 30, 40, 50 years later and put that paving in, it's like, who pays for it now?
Now, is this the new animal shelter, yes?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Okay.
It definitely needs to be taken care of, but
I don't
point when if it's not in the budget.
It should have been thought of, quite frankly, several years ago when they were planning the new animal shelter on, a dirt road. They should, in my opinion, that council should have kind of planned for that then, but they didn't, so we're getting to deal with it now.
Okay. Right now, 7:52, Tom Collins, Laura Mack, Lubbock's First News, back with the mayor next. Good morning. Right now, 7:56, Tom and Laura, Lubbock's First News. Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house after city council meeting last night. Let's go to the phones. Scott, you're on. You got a question for the mayor?
Yes, sir. I was been listening to the GCN network, and they had mentioned Lubbock, Texas, and they had mentioned Mr. Mayor, and I was wondering if we were going to get an opportunity to hear him go on that program and get on a national stage and platform and kind of explain his position on where Lubbock stands in this modern-day world.
Now, what network are you talking about?
This is a GCN network, Alex Jones.
Oh, okay.
I'm not aware of it. It's the first I've heard of that. Not aware of the network. I will tell you, I lead a pretty sheltered life when I'm not sitting at the dice. But I think one thing I've proven, if nothing else, is that I have never turned down an opportunity to try to promote Lubbock. I think it's my number one job, and if that opportunity came up, I would love to do it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
What were they saying about Lubbock? I'm just curious. Hello, Scott?
Hello?
We lost him.
Okay.
Interesting. We'll look that up.
I'm going to have to, when I leave here, Google, he said GCN Network?
That's what I understood.
Yeah, GCN.
That'll be interesting to find out what that was
about. I never heard of that before.
Well, I hadn't either, but I'm, like I say, me and my sheltered life and going to bed as early as I do, they may not come on till 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Well, you're pushing the envelope. They practically, you go at city council meeting after 9, they, got a wheelchair waiting out back. Nobody knows that. But.
Shit, there's some things we don't need to speak about.
Coming up next, Gary Vaughn's after top of the hour. Gary, you're here in the house. Have you ever had to take the mayor home from a city council meeting in the ambulance?
No. I have picked up some past mayors, but not the current.
I see. But he didn't say yet either.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, it's 7:58, Tom and Laura. Hope you're having a great day. Enjoy the rain. Man, what a blessing.
Yeah.
All night long.
Thanks for coming in, Mayor.
I'm glad to be here.
Have a great weekend.
You too.